Welcome back in. It's Mouth of the Midwest on 1490 The Jack. We're live from Encore Pizza on a Tuesday afternoon. We welcome in Joe Aiello, view from the bleachers, talking some Cubs baseball with us here this afternoon. Welcome in, Joe. How's it going today?
Hey, it's going well. How about you guys?
Doing well. Good to talk to you again. Good to run you down as well. You know, you look at last weekend, you get the first two games against the Cardinals in that series. You lose the nightcap and then lose last night to the White Sox, but still have to be basking in the glow. At least you got a series win against the Cardinals. Always feels good to get one of those against the little birdies on the bat.
Well, it not only feels good to get a win against the Cardinals, but it feels good to get a series win. I don't really care who it's against. That was the first time the Cubs have won since September the 9th. So, in terms of a series win, so I'll take it whether it's against the Cardinals or against the Astros. I don't care.
Wow, just an incredible number as we look down and we say it's we're into the month of May and it's been that long before you go back and get a series victory. 11-19 right now, Joe. No surprise, the team certainly not going to be in contention this year. That was what is talked about even before the season. I think most everybody, even the most ardent of Cub fans, would have to deep down in there know that this wasn't a team that's going to be in contention this year. But positives this year, I think you have to start with Anthony Rizzo. He's bounced out there, not a whole lot of opportunities, sitting with a ton of walks because not a lot of protection around him, but he's bounced back in a big way this year, and I think people now see the kind of building block that they have there at first base.
Yeah, you mentioned Anthony Rizzo, and I think the biggest thing to be excited about with Anthony Rizzo is his ability to hit left-handed pitching this year. The slugging percentage has by far been there. I think I saw a number on Sunday that he was hitting somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 in terms of slugging percentage against lefties. So the fact that he's been able to get that success against lefties, something that he's struggled with in the past, has been a great, great encouragement to me as a Cub fan. And then, you know, also Starlin Castro. We kind of hinged on those two guys this year as being guys that really needed to rebound, and both of them have done a really great job in terms of rebounding from somewhat lackluster years last year.
You know, Joe, you mentioned Starlin Castro, and after the disappointment of the year ago and then the speculation what was going to happen with him, because if he struggled like he did a year ago, still a very young guy, you have a guy sitting behind him down at AAA and Javier Baez that looked to be the guy that was going to take over and jump in him. Well, as Castro has played a little bit better here at the beginning part of the year, you have Baez that is struggling down in AAA. The latest about him and a possibility of a call-up, and more than likely it'd be at second base where he'd get the gig there. But what are the Cubs waiting to see out of Baez at this point?
Well, I think you need to get him experience. I think you need to begin to see a little bit less strikeouts than what we've seen so far. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Javier Baez later this season. I don't think we're going to see him called up as early as June, like some people had imagined. A lot of people really kind of speculated that Baez was basically being held back for the simple fact that it allows the Cubs financially to have some control over him for a little bit longer time. I don't think that's the case. I think they just wanted to see him get experience. And we see that this year he wasn't quite ready yet, based on his struggles so far this season. I wouldn't actually be surprised if we saw Chris Bryant at the major league level quicker than we saw Javier Baez.
Oh, that certainly would be big news, a quick ascension out of Bryant. This guy, I mean, what kind of ceiling are we talking about when you mention Bryant, a guy that has moved through the organization so quickly, big time, certainly expectations coming out of him. What kind of comparison are people making about him? And to talk about the ceiling, what kind of player he could be if he puts everything together.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to watch for with Chris Bryant is the power. And the power is there, and the power will be there. There's scouts that have projected him to be, you know, in the 70 to 80 power scale on a 20-80 scale. So the power and the projections for him are astronomical. You know, he could be a guy that leads the majors in home runs if he meets his prospect ceiling when all is said and done. I could see him realistically as a potential 50 home run guy. I just see him with that much power.
Wow.
I don't know how he projects in terms of a contact hitter, but I think, you know, you could be a 40 or 50 home run guy and still hit 260 and be a very, very, very useful piece in a puzzle. So I think Bryant has, you know, tons of potential, and that's why you saw the Cubs reach for him, not necessarily reach for him, but take him over a pitcher, which is something that they sorely needed at that time because of the bat. Power bats just don't come around as much anymore, and the Cubs are loaded with them. You know, guys like Mike Holt, guys like Baez, Rizzo, Bryant. These are guys, Soler, These are guys who can hit good amount of home runs, and power is more of the new premium now. It feels like it's a little easier to get arms, and that power is a little bit more harder to come by. So I think it'll be interesting to see what the Cubs do in this draft if they just go solely pitching. But, yeah, I'm excited about Javier Baez, but more Chris Bryant, I think, at this point.
Talking to Joe Aiello, View from the Bleachers, taking a look at the Cubs as the season continues on into the month of May and still a month away from a lot of the big-time prospects that are going to be called up. You know, you mentioned so much about the bats, and that's something that offensively, at least when you look down at the minor leagues, the Cubs appear to be in good shape. What about the pitching side of things? What are some of the names that have jumped up and some of the names we could keep an eye on? Because if you look at, you know, basically any Cubs top 10 list or top 100 of Baseball America, you'll see those hitters, but not a whole lot of the arms.
Yeah, one of the names that has been on people's radar for the last year or so is Kyle Hendricks. He's doing fine in AAA. He's not wowing anybody, but, I mean, he doesn't have the stuff to just blow guys away. He's more of a finesse pitcher. And, you know, I project him probably as a back end of the rotation type of guy. But I think when you see, in a couple weeks, I've got a post coming out that kind of re-evaluates what exactly you should be expecting out of each slot in your rotation. But I think you'd be surprised to see, I ran a study last year, in terms of just looking at overall guys that have thrown 150 innings and what we saw out of them. And I think what I came up with, if I'm not mistaken, was there was only about 80 or 82 guys that pitched 150 innings last year. So when you do the math on that, that's less than three guys per team. So the concept that you're going to get five guys in your rotation that are going to give you 200 innings is not realistic. And so I think if you can get Kyle Hendricks that can give you 180 to 200 innings out of the back end of the rotation, you'll take that in a heartbeat. Another name that's been interesting this year, and I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but his last name is Wada. He's out of the Japanese league, and he signed this year as a minor league free agent. He spent some time in Baltimore before having some Tommy John surgery shortly after he got signed. He's never made a major league start, but he's got an ERA under one right now after about five or six starts. So he's an interesting name. He's not on the 40-man roster, so a spot would need to open up for him. But I think he's a name to watch in case you see an injury. You know, if we see a guy like Edwin Jackson go down or you know, somebody like that, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that one. I think we did that Edwin Jackson just goes down, basically. when, you know, if we see something like that, I think you might see a guy like Wada come up rather than Chris Ruffin or Kyle Hendricks. Just because at this point he's 31 or 32 years old, you just got to at least see what he has before you just say, hey, I'm just going to dismiss it as, hey, it's minor leagues. So no. I think he's an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense there, certainly, Joe, with that. And a guy deeper into his career, certainly a guy that at least given a shot to in a season that on the surface isn't certainly going to go anywhere, at least for this season, and give him a shot. You know, last night, Jose Quintana, he was outstanding for the White Sox. On the other side, it was Samardzija again for the Cubs. He has been dominant. A great start last year, and I think some people maybe forget that and kind of remember how the year ended up for him overall, but he was outstanding at the beginning of last season. Would this be a time because of what happened in the second half of last year where if a deal comes along, it's early on, and maybe you can't get the best one, but because you know something might happen on the back end here where you get a good deal and you take it early on and go that way, or you think they're going to wait until July and hopefully that Samardzija kind of impact and the trade value for him continues to go up?
Yeah, I think it would probably be something that we would see closer to July. I think with somebody like Hamill, you might see an early season trade, maybe a late late June. But I think with Samardzija, it's pretty clear what he is and what he's becoming, and so I don't think you're gonna fool GMs and say, hey, this guy's available right now. You know, guys know he's available. GMs know what they're getting in Samardzija, and I think you can afford to just say, hey, we're gonna wait until we have to. I don't think the Cubs have completely ruled out re-signing Samardzija, especially as he continues to just dominate on the plate, on the mound. But at this point, I think you would have to get the deal you want to move him early. It would have to be something that you may worry that wouldn't be there later.
Edwin Jackson on the bump tonight for the Cubbies. Worst signing of the Theo era?
I don't think it's the worst signing of the Theo era. I give that route to probably Ian Stewart. But I don't know what's wrong with Edwin Jackson. You know, he's plagued by one bad inning a lot of times. But overall, the biggest thing that he needs to work on, and I don't know that he has the ability to work on it, is his command. He's a guy that's just going to walk too many hitters. He has a history of a no-hitter in his past. And if you look at the box score in that no-hitter, I forget the exact number, but he walked something like 8 or 9 guys in that outing. So, you know, he's not a guy that's going to keep the ball over the plate. So he's going to pay when he makes mistakes. And what you hope for is that he doesn't make too many mistakes and can kind of give you 6 solid and hope for some offense.
Well, Joe, with the team sitting at 11-19 right now, not much hope for this season. What's next? The young guys coming up, that's something to look forward to, no doubt about it. But going forward and looking already forward to 2015, what's next in line here? Season where they start spending, is it going to be kind of a wait and see what these young guys do early on? What do you think is next, though, overall for the organization?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a huge spending amount this year, this offseason, because I think we're going to have to wait and see what we see out of the farm system. I think there's a good chance you're going to see Chris Bryant. I think you're going to probably see Javier Baez. I think you may see Arizmendi Alcantara at one point, and then you maybe begin to see Kyle Hendricks and Pierce Johnson, guys like that. I don't think you'll see anybody like Elmore or Soler. So at that point, you got to just say, well, let's see what we have with these guys. I anticipate next year to be a team where we can expect a .500 record. And then the following year, the following offseason, is where we start to see some supplemented signing once we know a little bit more about what we have, where we need to actually supplement.
So the Cubs rallying cry anymore is not wait till next year. It's wait till the year after next year.
Yeah, wait for 2 years.
Hey, good stuff, Joe. Thanks for joining us today.
Anytime, Trent.